the Bible, all my steps enlightened. Teach me the danger of the ground below. That lamp of safety o'er the gloom shall brighten. That light alone the path of peace can show.
The Madisonville Church of Christ, located at 1035 North Main Street, Madisonville, Kentucky, invites you to join them for another edition of What Does the Bible Say? A program of biblical questions and answers presented each week at this time. And now, your host and preacher for the Madisonville Church of Christ, Russell Klein.
Hi there. My name is Russell Klein, and this is What Does the Bible Say? I'm very glad to have you as part of the listening audience for today's program, and I want to welcome you to our study of the Word of God. I hope that you'll enjoy the time that you spend here with us as we seek together answers to your questions about God's holy Word. Now, before I get into the question that I want to try and answer today, I would like to take advantage of this opportunity to encourage you to send us your questions about the Bible. Any questions you have about the Bible, or about matters pertaining to the Bible or religion, whatever they may be, please take the time to write those down and mail them to us here at What Does the Bible Say? We are, of course, in care of the Madisonville Church of Christ, which is located at 1035 North Main Street in Madisonville, Kentucky. The zip code here is 42431, and the number to call if you would like to reach us by telephone and leave us a message with your question, well, that's area code 270-821-3544. And whether you call or write, it makes no difference to me. Even if you want to contact me on the internet, all you need to do is go to our church website. The address is www.madisonvillechurchofchrist.org. Those are all lowercase letters with no spaces or dashes between the words. And once you've located our homepage, look for the link that says Contact Us, and then from there, you'll be able to send me an email message with your question. And again, regardless of how you make contact, I just want to say that I look forward to hearing from you, and I'm looking forward to answering whatever questions you may have about the Word of God. Now, I would also like to encourage you, if you do go and visit our church website, to also look for the audio page at the church website. There you will find archived episodes of What Does the Bible Say? We keep episodes of this program archived for up to 1 year. So if there's a week that you missed, if there's a question that you're wondering if we've already tackled, well, just head on over to the website and look for the audio page and check it out and see what you can find there. Everything that's there is searchable by the date in which it was aired originally, and also searchable according to the question that was asked. So that should make it a little bit easier for you to find whatever it is you may be looking for. But of course, if you have a question about something that you can't find there on the website, bring it to our attention, and we will deal with it just as soon as we can right here on this program. Now, as for the question that we're going to deal with today, the question basically is this: what does Peter mean in 2 Peter 3:8? What does 2 Peter 3:8 mean? Well, that's probably the most basic, rudimentary kind of question that we can get on What Does the Bible Say? And I'm very excited about answering it for you today. Now, 2 Peter 3:8 says, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day." Now, I can understand why somebody might be wondering about the meaning of this passage, because there have been some misunderstandings about it in time past. Many people want to interpret this passage in an entirely literal sense, and they want to believe that for as far as the Lord is concerned, one day equals a thousand years, and a thousand years equals one day to God. And one of the reasons why people want to try to interpret this passage in that way is in order to substantiate some ideas that people have tried to advance with regard to Genesis chapter 1. You know, the Bible does not come into any kind of contradiction with science, with real, proven, factual science. The Bible, however, does come into contradiction many times with scientific theories, including the theory of evolution and the Big Bang theory and other such theories about the origin of the universe and the origin of life here on Earth. The simple fact of the matter is that the account that is given in Genesis 1 runs completely contradictory with many of the theories that have become popularly accepted in the scientific community and in our society today. So, for that reason, many times people want to try and find some kind of commonality. They want to try and find some kind of way for scientific theory to gel with what the Bible says. And one of the things that folks have come up with is something that is called in biblical circles the day-age theory. And this theory basically holds that each of the days of creation mentioned in Genesis 1 were not literal 24-hour days, but rather were what you might more rightly call epochs of thousands of years. And for proof of that, they point to 2 Peter 3:8, and they say, see, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. However, that's not how this passage was ever meant to be understood. In order to properly interpret the passage, one of the things we need to do is to place it within its appropriate context. And to do that, well, we need to go back to verse 1 of 2 Peter 3. And this is how the chapter begins. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by the way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out, standing out of water, and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The point that Peter is making here is that as time goes on, there will be those who will scoff at the idea that the Lord is going to return to the earth. And they will say things like, how can it be that Jesus is coming back? Everything continues just as it has from the creation of the world. And Peter makes the point that that's not true. That idea is simply not true. And one of the manifest evidences of that is the account in Genesis chapter 6 through 9 of the great flood that destroyed the world and changed the world dramatically, so that the world that then was before the flood was different from the world that is now. Now, we also understand, because of God making the rainbow a sign of his covenant with humanity, that the world will never again be destroyed by a flood. It will never again be made over as it was in those days, but is now reserved unto a complete destruction by fire. And that's what's going to happen when Jesus returns. People do tend to forget about those kinds of things. And people today do tend to think that the earth has been formed into what it is today by the processes that we can observe working on the earth today. That's why, in order for theories like the theory of evolution and the formation of the solar system and the earth, in order for those theories to be true, what's needed is, well, what the scientists themselves call deep time. You can't have those things happening in a relatively short amount of time, a few thousand years, if it all happened by natural processes that we can observe today. But of course, the Bible reminds us that that's not true, that the earth was created in 6 days. On the seventh day, God rested. The earth was destroyed and made over again in a matter of about a year and a half during the time of the flood. And even though thousands of years have passed since those days, those things happened. We can see in the natural world around us evidence that those things happened. The only problem is most scientists don't want to interpret that evidence in order to make it so that the biblical account even seems plausible. They want to interpret the evidence that they see to try and fit with their theories. Of course, the only problem is that those theories remain theories today, in spite of the fact that many people simply proceed as if those theories were facts. But at any rate, I'm getting a little bit off my topic here. In verse 8, he then says, "Beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." Again, that's not necessarily meant to be taken literally. It is a figurative expression, which says, time is irrelevant to God. Why would time mean anything to God? God is eternal. He has always existed, and he always will exist. Psalm 90, verse 2 says, he is from everlasting to everlasting. So, time is not something to which God is bound. Time is not something that really is part of his experience. Time is something by which we human beings are bound because we are living in this world only for a limited amount of time. But with the Lord, 1,000 years might as well be a day, and a day might as well be 1,000 years. He then goes on and completes the thought in verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Some may scoff at the idea that the Lord is going to return again someday. They may say, everything continues as it has always continued since the creation. But remember, the world does not really have a history of everything continuing as it always has from the very beginning. The flood is evidence of that. And just because the Lord may not be here yet doesn't mean that he's not coming. Remember, time doesn't mean anything to God. The Lord may come today or tomorrow, or he may not come for 10,000 years, but he is coming. He's not slack concerning his promise, and we need to be ready for his coming when it gets here. Well, I'm afraid that's it for today. I've reached the end of my time. Thank you for tuning in, and please tune in again next week for another edition of What Does the Bible Say? Please keep your questions coming in to us, and we will be here next time with a brand new episode. May God bless you as you study God's holy word.
Questions and comments to be answered on What Does the Bible Say? Should be sent to What Does the Bible Say? In care of the Madisonville Church of Christ, 1035 North Main Street, Madisonville, Kentucky, 42431. Or you may call the church directly at 821-3544. You are invited to attend the services of the Madisonville Church of Christ, Sunday morning Bible study at 9:30 a.m. with worship following at 10:30, Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7. We hope that this morning's program has been informative and uplifting to you. Tune in next week for more questions and answers on What Does the Bible Say?